Bible, Luke 15. Luke 15. Appreciate Brother Shanks preaching this morning. God used him, helped him. Luke 15, verse 1. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. I won't preach if the Holy Ghost will help me this morning. Yeah. Oh, sinners are welcome. The scribes and Pharisees murmured because of who Jesus ate with. In that day, these people that were not, quote, by the Pharisees and the scribes, that were not keepers of the Pentateuch or the five books of Moses, that they looked at these people as outcasts. They looked to them as people, they called them, they had a name for them, they said, them's the people of this land. They didn't recognize them really as nothing but this outcast people. And this religious crowd, if you wasn't in their group, then they would disown you. They didn't want nothing to do with you. They didn't want sinners around them. But Jesus came to eat with them. And Jesus, His own mission unto this world was to come to save sinners. That's why He came. He did not come just to come. He came, of course, first of all, to do the will of the Father. But the will of the Father was for Him to save sinners. And so the whole foundation of the coming of Jesus into this world, Isaiah talked about it. He said He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. That everything Jesus come to do surrounded sinners. It surrounded everything. And my friend, when it come down to saving sinners, everything Jesus did, thank God He done for a sinful man. He became one of us. Even though He was not a sinner, He became sin. Everything about Christ dealt with sinners. Amen. That's why He died on the cross. He died for sinners. That's why He rose again. He rose for sinners. That's why He has preachers today that preach to sinners. And all through the time, He came for sinful man. Now, most people is just like these Pharisees. They don't see that they're a sinner. They didn't see that they were blind. They didn't see that they needed Jesus. They saw themselves as righteous. They saw themselves as good people. But the fact of it was they were sinners. And I want to tell you this morning, every one of us is born with a sin nature. Every one of us has sin in our heart. That's right. Unless, thank God, one day you've been saved. And Christ came to save sinners. I'll tell you what, these men that sat there, thank God, that murmured at the fact that our Savior ate with sinners. And then one day, thank God, He came where I was at. Amen. I couldn't get to Him under my own human ability. I had no knowledge of Him. But thank God, the God of heaven came my way through the gospel and reached my heart. And through and by Him, thank God, I was born again. I got saved because He cared for sinners. If He had not cared, I wouldn't be saved. And He had not came, I would not be saved. Amen. He had to come, thank God, that I could be saved. He came for you to be saved. Amen. He didn't put you in this world, thank God, that you might be prosperous. He didn't put you in this world, thank God, that you might live your life the way you want to live. But He put you in this world, thank God, to be one of His. That you might do His will. Amen. But you never will until you're saved. Until Christ becomes your Savior. He came, thank God, to save sinners, amen. Now, who's a sinner? You are. I am.
Amen. Who's a sinner? Mankind.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Everybody's a sinner. I don't care who he is.
Right.
Amen. From the White House to the, thank God, to the poorhouse. Every man's a sinner. It don't matter who they are. Amen. Listen, thank God, a lot of people don't think that they're as bad as other people, but they're as bad as anybody else. Amen. We've got the conception today that I'm better than somebody. You're better than none. Amen. That's why Paul read that thing in Romans 3. He said, are they better than us? Are we better than them? And no one. He said, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that do good, no, not one. There's none that understand, no, not one. There's not a man born, my friend, born toward God. He's born going away from God. And the only hope he's got is God come after him. Amen. That's right. Now, in this parable, there's three parables in one. One of them's dealing with the shepherd going after the lost sheep. And something about this shepherd here is a type of Christ. The sheep were the shepherds. And when the sheep, in them days there in Palestine especially, there wasn't, and I preach this, there wasn't no walls around where they was at. And listen, there wasn't a lot of good grass in some places. So them sheep would stray off to find something to eat. And the shepherd would get to looking at the sheepfold, and he'd see one missing. And he left the 99, the Bible said, and went after that one that was missing. And what he done, he would seek that sheep. Now these men that could follow the trail, they knew, thank God, by looking at that where they had been by their footprints. And they could follow that trail and find that sheep. Aren't you glad God got on your trail one day?
Yeah.
Amen. He knew where you was, and he followed your trail. Amen. And that's exactly what the shepherd done. Now there's something about this. They said when that shepherd went after that sheep, thank God that there's a lot of people concerned because, amen, them shepherds sometimes, amen, was looking after other people's sheep. Amen. And they said that when that shepherd, this is the truth here, if that shepherd couldn't find that sheep, and that sheep had died, he had to bring the fleece back. He had to bring it back, the fleece back, and let them know that this sheep has perished. To let them know that, because a lot of times in them communities, there was hundreds of sheep that some of them shepherds watched, and they was like a communal area where the shepherds walked the sheep. Amen. But that's what he had to do. But when he went after that sheep and he found the sheep, amen, the sheep that found the shepherd, the shepherd found the sheep. That's exactly what happened to you. It wasn't that you found the shepherd found the sheep. Hey, God, buddy, I'm telling you, that's a blessing. And I know that he came to where I was at. I'm telling you, I couldn't find him, but thank God he found me, amen.
Yes.
And he found me as I was.
Yes, he did.
That's right, lost.
Yeah.
Yes. Amen, lost. You never get saved till you get lost.
Yes.
Amen. And it said this, it said the shepherd, this is the scripture here, the shepherd would pick up the sheep. Now I'm telling you, these wasn't little old lambs. These were big sheep. But he's strong enough to carry it. Amen.
Yeah.
And he put it on his shoulder. And he brought it back in. Amen. And it said when he came back in, all the people, thank God, that was in that community was waiting on that. And it said when they saw that shepherd bringing that sheep in, that they got to rejoicing. Amen. And praising, thank God, the shepherd for finding the sheep. And he said, how much more shall there be rejoicing in heaven? Thank God, over one sinner that repents. I'm telling you, by the day God saved you, hey, there was rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repented. Amen. Thank God, that's right. And I tell you this morning, you say, how do you believe that, preacher? I believe the redeemed of God that's left us and left, went to be with the Lord. I believe at any time a sinner turns to Christ by faith in repentance, I believe there's rejoicing. Amen. Now, I can't tell you exactly how it is, but I will say this. Let me give you an example. I'll use Brother Keith for example. You know, he got under conviction at a funeral service of Brother Robert's wife, Miss Leah. And it said in that funeral service, I preached the word of God. The shepherd got on his trail. And the Holy Ghost started in his heart. It was in June of 1990, that Miss Lib went to be with the Lord. And then Brother Keith was a pallbearer in that funeral. The Holy Ghost dealt his heart that day. I preached the word of God. Well, in September 1990, he comes into the house of God, and the Holy Ghost, the shepherd, got on his trail again. He got born again. And when he got saved at this altar, I believe the news went through heaven. Amen. And I believe Miss Lib up there, thank God, rejoiced over them she had prayed for. Amen. That's the way I believe it. I believe, thank God, they said they're rejoicing in heaven. And, buddy, I'm telling you, you think about that, them people that's died and gone to be before us that was saved by the grace of God. I believe there's rejoicing in heaven, and buddy, I believe if they had anything to do with that sinner and pray with them witness in them, and they hear that name through the glory land, I believe there's rejoicing, amen.
Amen.
Praise God. If there's rejoicing there, sure to be rejoicing here.
Amen.
Amen. Then there's a lost shepherd right there. I mean a lost sheep and a shepherd. Yeah. Got after the sheep. Now don't say this, there was a lost silver.
Yeah.
That woman had 10 pieces of silver. 10 pieces of silver. And it said that she lost the piece. One piece. Listen, it might have been a day worth a day's wage to that woman. Some people say, in reading it said it was like a marital headband that these Jewish women wore, and it had 10 pieces of silver in that headband. And then I want to say something about this piece that this woman lost. It had to be valuable to her. I mean, it had to be. It was valuable to her. Now, I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of things people have lost. And God wouldn't be valuable to me. But it's valuable to them. Amen.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, there's some things that we've lost in our lives that we need to find. That's very valuable this morning.
Right.
Some people's lost their joy.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have no gladness of heart.
Yeah.
Now, I want to say this. When the church loses her joy, it loses its strength. When the church don't have no gladness, listen, it don't cost you one dime to say amen.
It don't
cost you nothing.
Amen.
I mean, when the choir's up there singing, it don't cost you a dime to say amen. I mean, it don't cost you nothing. Amen. And listen, when the man of God's preaching, it don't cost you a dime to say amen. I mean, friend, I'm just telling you, the church has lost the joy, the gladness of heart. And when you lost your joy, you've lost your strength, amen.
Yeah.
Amen. There's a lot of things you can lose. Some people's lost their fellowship with God. That means they don't commune with Him through their heart, through the Scripture, through prayer. They've lost that. Some people's lost their love. Remember, He said they left their first love. They didn't just lose it. They left it. This woman lost a piece of silver. And the first thing she did was she got her broom out. Amen. It says she swept the house. Now, in them days, that house didn't have much light. They said maybe in some houses, in some of the better houses, they had a little old window at the top of the door. Some houses, they had no light within it. And she took that broom and she started sweeping and lit a candle looking for that silver. And I want to say this, praise God. I know that she knew the air that she lost in. It had to be in the dirt because the floors were dirt.
Yes.
And she had to take that broom with that light and find it. Now, I'm going to tell you, it takes some effort for you this morning to find what you've lost.
Yeah, sir.
It takes a little effort. And most of the time, listen to this, most of the time what you lose in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Amen?
Amen.
Your house, that's where you most time lose it because that's where you spend more time than anywhere else.
Yeah.
And that's where I pray and that's where I read my Bible and that's where I keep praising God. And I'm telling you what, a lot of things are lost in the house and a lot of things are lost in the house of God.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you this, you better hear what I'm about to say. This church has the blessing of God on it.
Yes, sir.
But I'm going to tell you this, there's been a lot of churches that lose a lot of things. It had the blessing of God on it.
Yeah.
Amen. What about the Laodicean church? They said, we increase with goods and have need of nothing. But the Lord said, you're poor, miserable, wretched, and blind. That's what He said about them. He said, you're lukewarm. This woman's searching for this silver. I wonder, they got that broom and that light. They had to put some light on it. I mean, had to put some light on it. Amen. The light is what reveals the peace. Hoping probably that broom and that light is shining would maybe make a noise where that coin had fell, that she could get it back. Can I want to tell you this? Can I get you to hear? That peace was hers.
Yes.
That peace was hers. Amen. What you saying, preacher? Thank God, God was His. Amen. That's right, buddy. Amen. That lost sheep was that shepherd's. That coin was hers. Amen. She's not looking for somebody else's coin. She's looking for her coin. What you say? That's why it's personal. Salvation and being saved is a personal relationship with Christ, and you have to make way to God yourself.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You don't say this. What about the prodigal? I was thinking about his daddy had to be grieved. You know, here's the daddy's raised two boys. The firstborn got 2/3
right.
of the state, and the younger son got 1/3 of the property. And one day his younger son got the idea he wanted to go into a far country and waste his substance. And what did he say to his daddy? He said, "Give me what's mine." You know what that daddy had to do? He had to give him a third of that estate was. He had to give to that son. Now, most of the time, nobody ever got anything until the daddy passed away. That, you know what that was saying to that daddy? He's saying to that daddy, "I'd just soon wish you was gone that I could get what's mine." It had to grieve the daddy. I mean, this thing. And the younger son, thank God, one day, not many days after that, his daddy gave him what was his. He took out, went to a far country, and the Bible said he wasted his substance and robbed his living. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask young people a question. Boy, the world glamorizes all these people.
It does.
I've heard young people say, "I'd sure like to be that football player." I want to ask you this. Would you want to be him when he's dying? I'd sure like to be like you. You see them people driving. You got 2 or 3, cars or whatever. That's really expensive. And people, boy, I'd like to have one of them. I sure wish I was in that man's shoes. Would you want to be in it when they was dying? Huh? Whose shoes would you want to be in when you're dying? I can say I want to be in my shoes.
Amen.
Amen. I ain't got nothing to fear. I've been saved by the grace of God. Amen. But if death comes, I told you when God struck, God allowed that heart situation to come to me, I told you, I laid up there in that room up there in Roy Hospital, and it was the next day that ambulance, that was a Saturday night. I knew I was bound to that bed, and I was going down there and they was going to cut me open. And I know how a lot of people come in and see me. You know, when you lay on the bed and everybody's coming to see you, you think in their mind, they thinking, "He might not make it." But you know what? I wasn't thinking that. God said, "Son, I don't have to put you on no hospital bed to take you to heaven."
No way.
Hey, man, have you thought about that? He was saying, "Oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it." Listen, God don't have to put you on the hospital bed to take you out.
Right. Just say the word.
Amen. That's right. He's got our breath in His hand.
Yeah.
Amen. I got thinking about that thing up there. And I got to thinking one night, I was just there being myself and the Lord. And I said, "Lord, well, I'm going tomorrow." He said, "Be content." I was as content riding that ambulance as I would have been in the pulpit. When y'all was having the service, I was riding in the ambulance down to Charlotte. I was just content. I was just that night, though, about 11 o'clock, the old girl come by, the nurse, I said, "You need anything to help you to sleep?" I said, "Well, ma'am, it might do a little good tonight." And she left, and the Holy Ghost said, "I'm going to help you." And I said, "Lord, if it would be my time, it'd be all right."
Mm-hmm.
I got to singing that song. I'm about this over there. I got to singing the Hallelujah Square. "I'll see all my friends in Hallelujah Square."
Yeah.
What a wonderful time we'll have over there. Amen.
Amen.
I got to singing that to myself in there. "We'll see Lord Jesus and all our friends." I got to thinking about that. And I got to thinking about old Papa over there. You know, I got to thinking, Lord God, it ain't as bad as what people think. Amen. That's right, buddy. I'm going to tell you, when I'm standing flat-footed in these new shoes I got on, amen, But I'll tell you one thing, buddy. If Jesus Christ come to me right now and said, Joel, it's time, I'd say it's good. That's a good sound.
Yes.
Amen. I'm as ready today as I'll ever be. Amen.
Yeah.
Somebody said, I don't know if I am. I am. Amen. I'm ready.
Yes.
But I'm asking you a question.
Right.
Are you ready?
Amen.
Are you in the far country in your mind and heart? And that young boy went down to far country and he had already went there in his mind before he went there with his feet. Isn't that right, Brother Keith? One day he didn't have no more money. A famine come in the land. He went down to a citizen of the country and they said, you got any work? And he said, yeah, out there feeding them hogs. A Jewish boy with hogs, it was a curse.
Yeah.
And he went down there and he stood and watched them hogs eat them old shucks and fodder. And he didn't have nothing. And you know what moved that boy back to the daddy's house? It was hunger.
Yeah.
Listen to me, buddy. You listen to me. What's going to move people to God as they get hungry for Him?
Yeah.
They'll never move to God if they want Him and get hungry for Him. That boy got hungry down there in the hog pen and he got to thinking about the servants and all the bread of his daddy's house and he said, my father's got bread enough to spare and I perish with hunger. And he said, I'll rise and go to my father.
Yeah.
Now listen, this parable ought to magnify the father.
Mm-hmm.
It really ought to magnify the Father. It said when that boy was a great way off, he started back. Stinking. Been down with a bunch of hogs.
Betcha.
Amen.
Yeah. He's a saint.
That's right. Amen. I don't know. Amen, buddy. He hadn't took no bath before he come home.
No, no way.
You know what people say? I'll clean up before I come to God. You won't. You still stink.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what people say. Well, I got to quit this and quit that. I'm going to tell you, Kate, you need to come as you are. That boy got up and he said, I'm going back. He got humble before God. I mean, he got humble before the Father and said, I'm sinning against heaven. I'm sinning against my Father. I need to get back to where I was. I need to get back to Daddy's house. Amen. He had to get humble and admit it and go back. Amen. That's hard people to do. As he was a great wealth, the Bible said, Father ran, saw him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And had compassion on him. You know how he treated him? Like it never happened.
Yes.
You ever read that record? It said this about that. That boy said, Daddy, I've sinned against heaven. And in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. In other words, Getty, listen, you don't have to call me a son. Just pay me a little money as a servant.
Yes.
And Daddy never said nothing. He said, hey, go get the best robe and put it on.
Amen. Yeah.
Get this thought here. He didn't put the robe on. They put it on him. Thank God one day God put it on you too, buddy. You didn't put it on. Thank God you didn't have the power to put it on. You didn't. He put it on you. And that day they put the robe on him. Amen. Praise God. That's what God has to do. He has to put it on you. Amen. He put it on me one day.
Yeah.
He put it on you if you're saved. He said they put a best robe on him. Put a ring on his finger. And shoes on his feet.
Amen.
You know what they said? You know, shoes is a picture of sonship.
Yes.
They said them old slaves. They said in the black community when them slaves worked for them masters, they said the greatest day of them slaves was when they got a pair of shoes. That's what they said. And they said, thank you, master, for the shoes. Amen. Buddy, I'm telling you, you're blessed people today.
We are blessed people.
Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you this. He put shoes on his feet.
Yeah.
And he said, go kill the fatted calf.
Yeah.
We're going to make merry. And they got in there and they got to dancing, singing. Praise God, it had music in there.
Yeah.
no doubt cultural praise music to God. Mm-hmm. They got the praising God and worshiping God. That boy would come home. Amen. And this older brother standing outside, I wonder if you like him. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of Baptist church members just like that older brother.
Yeah.
He walks up, he'd been in the field no doubt, and he said, "What's all that music in there for?" And one said to him, the servant said, "Your brother come home. Your daddy's killed a fatted calf." And they rejoicing. And he got mad. You know why? It was a grace party. It was all about what, hey God, the grace of God does in a man's heart is a grace party. And that's what my friend, hey God, my friend for them that thought they was good enough, anybody could go in.
Yeah.
That was with the Father. And he said, I want to say this. Listen to this here. Is this not like some Baptist church members? He ain't never done that for me before. Isn't that right?
Amen. That's right.
He's been out with a bunch of harlots.
Yes, he has.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
That's his interpretation of the righteous living he had been in. And don't say he had, but that's what he said.
Right.
He might had. But there ain't nobody in here that's sinless.
Not one.
There ain't nobody in here holy in their self that they'd even want their thought life on a wall.
No way.
Including me at the top. You say, wait a minute, preacher, you're a preacher. That's right. I still got the wicked flesh to contend with.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
And buddy, for the first 24 years of my life, I was a sinner, lost, going to hell. And buddy, I'm telling you what, God don't remember it. And why in the world should I, amen, bring it up? Because it ain't even in His mind. See, it's hard for Baptist people or any people to accept the fact that when God looks at you, how were you when you got saved?
26, 25.
Study on that a little.
Yeah, you already know that.
He's a country boy.
Is he?
He's a good one, though. I've known him for a long time.
2006.
What year was you born in? 84.
84.
That'd be what about, you was about what? 84 into 2000, that'd be 16 years. 22. How old are you now?
Be 32 Friday.
Putting you on the spot, ain't I? When's your wedding anniversary? I'm just speaking with you.
Come on.
Yeah, you better than that one.
He got saved when he's 22. Get this. You know what God says about him the day he got saved? He's perfect.
Amen.
So what about old Messi? He's perfect. See how he's sinned against him? No. There's no charge against him. I don't charge him with nothing. Boy, can you grab a hold of that? I mean, if you got a hold of that, thank God, and realize that there's nothing that you'll ever be charged with that has been taken care of by the blood of Christ. Thank God, the grace of God, and God had mercy on us. I'm telling you, brother, you listen to me. It'll cause you to get happy and have a spell. Amen. Thank God we're not sinners. We're saints. We're sinners by the flesh, but we're saints by grace. Amen.
Amen.
That's a blessing. The devil says, "You look what you did." I said, "Well, I've already been taken care of." That's a good thing, brother. Here's a man come home, a young man that's been out in all kind of sin. I had a good friend that went to school with me, and his name was Roger. He was a friend of mine. We played basketball together. I got saved. I mean, God was saved me. I went around and told my friends about getting saved. And I said, but he looked at me and he said, "You telling me that you thought you were so bad that you had to be saved?" I said, "Yes, sir. God showed me that."
Yeah.
He said, well, my daddy was a preacher, and he was a Lutheran preacher. Okay. He said, my daddy told me that that wasn't, but that ain't true, that long as I do the best I can, I'll make it to heaven. And he said, that stuff you're talking about is for real bad people. That's what he thought. That's what he thought. No, it's for everybody.
Yeah.
All have sinned.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
All have sinned.
Oh.
You know what that older boy say? I'm a whole lot better than my younger brother.
Yeah.
I hadn't done what he did, and Daddy's giving him a party. Because he come home, look what he's been doing. Yeah. Who hath resisted his will? You answer me this question, friend. If God, who is merciful, stops you on your way to hell by conviction and desires to give you light and show you the Christ of glory, who hath resisted his will? What's that show, preacher? It shows this, that there wasn't nothing that boy did to earn it, deserve it, or nothing. It was just on the good pleasure of the Father.
It sure was. Yeah.
Buddy, you wouldn't be saved if they had not been for the Father.
No way.
You wouldn't even be saved had not been for the Father having good pleasure. Hey, God, you know why? Because He loved you.
Amen.
Why did He do that? Because He loved Him.
Right.
He loved Him.
Yeah.
That's right. Sinners are welcome. It don't matter where you've been, what you've done, who you are. You can be the most refined citizen and still you're a sinner. And you can be the dirtiest sinner and you're still a sinner.
Amen.
You're still a sinner. Amen. And sinners are welcome. They're welcome. Jesus ate with them and He received them. And He received you one day. If you got saved.
Yes,
amen. May the Lord be glorified in it. May He bless us with His divine presence as a child of God. And that day He said, why shouldn't I rejoice? My son that was lost is found. My son that was dead is alive again. Amen. That's right. That's what He said. I'm going to give you this, and I promise you I'm through. Everybody that was in the beginning, in the loins of Adam, because he took of the fruit and ate it, we become lost. Adam become lost. What Adam lost what was given to him. And all down through the ages of time, nobody could get that back. It was only through Christ or through God's method of covering sin and giving men grace. Noah found grace. Abraham believed God and got righteousness and all that. It is all by faith. But the thing of it was, it never could do an eternal work. And that's why Adam sinned, Brother Keith, he took us all out. But when Christ came, who is the last Adam, He came and done what needed to be done.
Amen.
For sinful men, that we could be accepted by the Father.
Amen.
And that's why God accepts us today on behalf of what Christ did.
Yeah.
That's why all these people say, boy, you got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this. You don't have to do nothing. He's already done it.
Already. He said it was coming.
And that boy didn't do one thing to deserve to have. Thank God his Father had mercy on him and took him in as he was. Yeah. He never called him a servant. He was always his son.
Yeah.
Amen. He welcomes sinners. What have you lost? You need to get back. Amen. Let's stand this morning.